If you would look at the verse Psalm 19:14, we're in a series about the strength of God, the power of God, the power and strength that He has, but He gives it to us as well, and we're focusing on that today. Let me read this to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray together. Would you ask and tell the Father today that you love Him? Will you say that to Him? Let Him hear from His children. Just tell Him that you love Him. Then let your prayer move to being grateful and thankful. Who the Lord is, what He does, what He reveals, His steps of leading us through. Let the Holy Spirit show you what you need to be grateful for. Give thanks. There are people who overlap into your life. Some are in need of prayer physically, sickness and disease. Some, they're in a financial crunch. Some are carrying a heavy load emotionally. Some need spiritual direction. Some need godly, truth-telling relationships. Take a moment and lift these people up by name to our Heavenly Father. Take a moment and pray for them. People that weigh heavy on your heart, mind. We want to pray for the nations. We've been praying for Haiti. We have ministry there. Some people in this church heavily connected to Haiti, specifically Disciples Village. We knew it as Alex's house. The gang activity has displaced a lot of orphanages, changed their country. We've been praying for God's peace there, and other countries are sending law enforcement there to gain control. We're grateful for that, but we pray for God's peace there. Pray for the ministries that are there. We continue to pray for the peace of Israel, Jerusalem. As you know, what's going on with Gaza in the Palestinian area, the Hamas. Now, Iran is moving into the picture. Just pray for the peace of Jerusalem there. We pray for the nations in the invasion of Russia and Ukraine. Pray for God's peace there, the ministries that are there, the relief effort that is there. Pray for Venezuela, all that's going on there, and election and voting and the uprisings that are happening. We pray for God's peace there. We pray for the ministry that's going on during the Olympics in Paris. People have been planning their ministries, some for over 5 years, for these series of weeks. Pray for their Bible studies that are breaking out in the Olympic Village among the athletes. Pray for the witness of Christ there, the gospel presentation there. Pray for our country, that our hearts would return to our Lord and our God. Pray for godly wisdom to fall on leadership in our nation, us. Pray for what's happening with the fires that are going on out in the West and the Midwest. Some of you go, well, how do you pray for that? I'm just an old country boy. I pray for a good old rain. That's one of the ways I pray for it. Pray for those people and their displacement and their loss. Would you take a moment and pray for those who are around you physically, even though you may not know them all? Pray a blessing over them today. Will you do that? And if you're pray for your family, wherever they may be, pray a blessing over them today. I believe in the blessing. Father, we gave an offering today. We brought financial offering to you. We do that because we love you. We trust you. We invest in your kingdom. Lord, we brought another offering today. We brought our lives, ourselves today. And we give ourselves to you. We surrender to you. Living sacrifices to you. Bless our lives, Lord, in service to you. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You see all of us today, Lord, but you see me differently. You're harder on me than you are anybody in this room. And I know that. I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment than anyone. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. It's good to see you. Thank you for gracing us today with your presence. Had a really large crowd in the early service too. And we're thankful that you were here with us. Remember, we're focusing on the strength of God and how powerful he is. But take the next step. He strengthens his people. And that's what we want to be able to see today. A lot of scripture today, so buckle up, okay? We're going to head through it, move through it quickly. You're not going to be able, if you take notes, to take full notes. Probably you're just going to have to give you a rough outline. But let's get into it. Psalm 19, 1 through 4 is where we're going to start. I would ask you to read Psalm, I said Psalm 119. We don't want to go there. That's a long one. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. But we want you to read Psalm 19. It's not that long. So it's broken up in really three different ways about God's power and strength. The first four verses are about God's strength and power in creation. And I want to bring that all together for you. Verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the works of his hands." We have man-made light, you know, subdivision, street lights, all that kind of thing. You have to really get outside the realm of man-made light just to be able to see the night sky and the glory of it. I mean, it's mesmerizing if you get to see an incredible picture of that. I love to go to planetariums. I love to go and just sit through them. And if I'm really sleepy, I don't make it through them because those lounge chairs in the planetarium, I'm usually off in a good nap, you know, in there, especially if it's really cool. If I'm awake, I love to just see and study about the creation of God and just see the beauty of that on the planetarium sky, the ceiling, and to look at the heavens. It says that the heavens declare this. David does this over and over and over. He's constantly saying, look at God's handiwork and what he's put together. Verse 2, it says that creation speaks. It projects and they communicate to us. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate. They communicate knowledge. They're doing this 24/7. And what creation is doing is it's communicating to us how strong and powerful our God really is. Look at verse 3. It says there's no speech in their communication. There are no words. We don't hear a voice from them at all. It's not happening. They don't do it in the way that we understand. Verse 4, it says their message has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the inhabited world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent even for the sun. And we're going to deal with that in just a moment. But this message is going out to everywhere, but they're not saying anything when it comes to words, but they're saying all kinds of things to us. And the fact that that he's formed them. He has put it together. Please understand, I love creation, but I'm not to worship creation. I'm to worship the Creator. And so when we look at creation, it helps us to understand the strength and the power that God has to put everything together. But they're communicating to us even to the ends of the earth. Look at Romans 1, 20 and 22 for just a moment. This is talking about how creation has a message of who God is. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly seen since the creation of the world. Do you see that in Paul's writing? Being understood through what he has made, as a result, people are without excuse. Because even creation shows the strength and the power and the existence of God. Look at verse 21. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. Their hearts were darkened. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And you're going, well, man, that verse is talking about today. Well, it is. There's some crazy stuff out there. There's some crazy thinking out there. Do y'all remember Zig Ziglar, the great communicator and teaching people as salespersons with companies? Zig Ziglar, he would go around all over teaching people how to increase their sales and increase their company and their business. And Zig Ziglar used to have a term called stinking thinking. He said, we're just consumed with stinking thinking. And it becomes true when you don't have an understanding of who God is and what he has put in order, then you're going to come up with just foolish ideas, foolish, senseless philosophies. You're going to come up with all kinds of things. But Romans 1, Paul says to that church in Rome, in a place where he loved to preach, he said to them that even creation tells us about our God, and creation alone makes you without excuse. You will know who he is just by looking at creation, and creation will communicate. It communicates about the strength and the power and the existence of God. We want to go a little deeper here for just a moment. I want to take you back to the accounts of creation itself and give you a reminder. Creation was spoken into existence, because the scriptures are, and God said. And as he has spoken them into creation, then creation itself speaks of him. That's the intention of all of it. The intention of all creation, especially us who are made in his image, and we'll see this deeper in the sermon, and that is that all of it, that which is in the image of God and that which isn't, is to express who our God is. So he spoke it into creation, and therefore it speaks of him in return. And so should we. If we look at creation responding to the Creator, I'm just going to take some things out of the life of Jesus that has to do with creation. When Jesus was born, creation marked his birth in the heavens. When he was born, when he died, creation responded to his death. Even the weather responded to his death. The earth responded with a quake to his death. When he was raised from the dead, the earth, creation responded to his resurrection in life. When it says now, Paul writes this, that even creation is groaning for the return of Christ. You and I as believers are told by scripture to pray for the quick return of Christ. I can't make it happen, but I long for it. I long for it. It says creation is groaning for the return of its creator. Ezekiel, when he was on that unbelievable tour of God redeeming everything, said he heard this sound, and it was such a remarkable sound that he fell on his face, and he saw the earth receiving the glory of God. It would be like seeing something in black and white, and then all of a sudden you get to relive it in true color. And as glorious as our world is, as beautiful as it is, it will one day absorb the entire glory of God. And Ezekiel saw that, and he fell on his face in awe of what he was able to see. Even in the return of Christ, we are going to see creation respond to the Lord. And then in verse 4, it talked about the sun. And we know how important the sun is, and our whole day is wrapped around it. And our whole world is wrapped around it. But God is saying here that as powerful as it is, that he has created a covering over the sun. And it becomes a picture of, as powerful as you think the sun is, I am far more powerful than the sun. I've created a canopy even over that. So David, and I can see this. Can you see this, David, out in his shepherd life? And there are no street lights, and there are no city lights. And he's out there at nighttime, and he's taking care of the sheep. And he is seeing the handiwork of God in its purest form. And he's in awe of it. Can't you imagine that? Because he speaks of it all the time. And even what he's able to see in the nighttime sky, or even the day sky, which predominantly is just the sun, but he's able to see the power of God. He says creation speaks of the strength and the power and the existence of our God. Look at Psalm 19:7-11. He switches from creation to the word of God. Look at verse 7. He says, the instruction of the Lord is complete. It renews one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced and makes them wise. The word of God is completing. Back to verse 7. The word of God is complete. It will complete you. The Bible says that you will become the complete person of God by the strengthening of the word of God in your life. It renews your life, which is a saying, is it restores your soul. Go to the psalmist. The same psalmist in the 23rd Psalm talks about the shepherd. And then there's a little break in there, and he said he restores my soul. He not only leads the sheep to green pastures and to still waters, but he restores our soul. And that is a continuance with him. Even in this verse 19, but in verse 23 or chapter 23, he continues it. We're getting ready to take new member training. I think we got almost 30 people in new member training, and that's exciting to me. And some of you are yet to sign up. Do you just want me to pause and stare at you for just a moment as to who you all are? And I'm excited to see that number. But in new member training, you're going to hear this again, that the word of God is food to our soul, not just facts to our mind. You need to understand that. Sometimes we go to the word of God just for factual information, even how to respond in a factual way. But the word of God is food to your soul. He says here, the word of God renews my life. It restores my soul. It makes me the complete person that I am in the Lord. It says here that the testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. I told a lady in the back, this is the verse. She was really bragging. Go ahead and wave at me back there. She's back there bragging on what the Lord had done. I said, there's a part of the sermon today you're really going to like. And it's this, the testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. Folks, I had a guy say to me in the last few weeks, he said, preacher, you have a lot of stories. And I do. I have a lot of stories. The Deaners are here today, and I'll talk about them later in the service. But it's a family from Campbellsville, and Dee and Judy are attending here regularly. And John and Janet are here. Julie, my wife, is sitting behind them. And our lives just overlap in so many ways, just so many ways. And they have stories too. Indeed, you'll amen this, especially John, right? But I have a lot of stories. I had a guy tell me, he goes, how do you have so many stories? And I said, because Julie and I have tried to live a life of faith. I said, listen, we have core values here. One of them is connect people to Christ. The second one, and we only have two, is live out your biblical story. What God put you, he put you here for a reason. What is it? Well, get on it, you know, get with it. And you'll have stories. So the guy said, you're just full of stories. I said, I am. I said, and I know I am. I know I am. I said, I tell other people's stories when it comes to their faith, but I have my own. They're in my hip pocket. And I have stories because we've tried to live a life of faith. Out of all the billions of people in the world, there are times that Julie and I know that he is focused entirely on us. Now, it didn't mean he disregarded the rest, but he revealed himself to us. You, the world, hell, Satan, can't take that away from me. And that only happens in a world, in a life of faith. When you live in a life of faith, you're going to have your own stories of what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And it's the testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. And it makes the inexperienced wise. Living by faith does that. Remember, his word is not just for factual information. It is food for my soul. And I've got to be careful of what I feed my soul. It has a hunger to it, just like our body does. And we feed it with the word of God. And his testimony of him can be trusted. It brings wisdom. Look at verse 8. It says, in verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. We'll come back to that line, making the heart glad, in just a moment. And they're righteous. And his word makes life radiant and glowing. The command of the Lord is radiant. Everybody uses the word woke today. I'm not going to use the word woke. I'm going to use the word awakened. The command of the Lord is, there's an awakening to it. It makes the eyes light up. There's a gleam that happens in our lives because we're living truth and we're understanding truth. You want to know the world so bad that you just studied the world. If you want to know the world and be able to see it clearly, study the Word of God. It's the worldview needs to come from the Word of God. When you understand the Word of God, you'll get a clearer picture of what this world is and what this world is not. So there's an awakening that comes with that. Verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is pure. And I'm not talking about being afraid of God. I'm talking about I'm in awe of him. I'm mesmerized by what he does and what he promises to be able to do. And it's pure. And it says it endures forever. That mesmerizing part of God just continues and continues. He says the ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. You want to know the ordinance there means God has put things in order. And if you're just living by worldly philosophies and ideas and foolish and senseless thinking, then you're gonna be stepping out of the order of God. But if you're in his word, it brings a beautiful order to your life. It's not just this life of chaos. And then it is righteous living. Look at verse 10. It says, his word is more desirable than gold. You know, I've been reading that a recession is on its way, and it may or may not be. You know, inflation's up, and the jobs reports, unemployment is down, and the listing of jobs that are started in July were down. And as you know, if you keep up with the stock market, it's been plummeting a lot of points lately. And then the more commercials come on that you need gold in your portfolio, right? And I'm not saying you don't. I'm not preaching yay or nay for that. But it is a commodity today. I just want to remind you that it was the commodity then. And that the word of God is more desirable than gold. Then he goes on. Wait a minute. It's more desirable than the abundance of pure gold. It says that the word of God is like sweetener. It's like, and we all like that, you know? I was eating some strawberries the other day and they were good, but I thought, you know, a little bit of that stevia on there is gonna wake things up a little bit, you know? And I put it on there and I was like, wow. You know, we don't use real sugar, but we'll use stevia and other things. It's sweeter. The word of God is sweeter than honey, which comes from the comb. Remember, it's food. It's food for the soul, not just facts for the mind. We have to be able to remember that. Verse 11, in addition, your servant, we are warned by his word. And not only that, don't stop there and be afraid. I want you to stand up and cheer at this section. Yet there is great reward
from the Word of God by keeping them. My most favorite professor in seminary was Gerald Borchert, Dr. Borchert. And he taught New Testament, and you'd have to be older to understand this Vincent Price kind of character that we all grew up with in the movies and on TV. But this Vincent Price, this mysterious kind of way of portraying himself, Princeton law grad, Princeton Divinity School grad, he was just a brainiac. I remember one day he said to us that the Word of God can be broken down into two segments. One of it is, it has great warning to it. The other is, it brings great assurance to the believer. And we see that. We see that being adapted right here in verse 11. In addition, your servant is warned by your word. But also, there is great reward when I keep your word. So there's great warning, but there's also great assurance with the Lord. Verses 1 through 4, creation shows the strength and power of God. Verses 7 through 11, his word shows the strength and the power of God. It restores our lives and our souls. It brings warning, but it brings great assurance. Psalm 19, 12 and 13, the power of God is shown by how he's able to cleanse. How he's able to cleanse. Verse 12, that who perceives his unintentional sins? And these are sins of omission. These are sins that you're committing that you're not paying attention to, that you're just living life aloof. You don't understand what the word says. He said, who pays attention to that? He said, cleanse me from my hidden faults and sins. So verses 12 and 13, they need to be some hallelujah verses for you, because he has the strength and the power to clean you up. Look at verse 13. Moreover, your servant, I want you to cleanse me from my sins that I do know I commit, my willful sins, sins of commission. Do not let them rule over me, then I will be innocent. Here we are with cleansed again. I'm cleansed from blatant rebellion. His creation shows his strength and power. His word shows his strength and power. The ability to be able to cleanse your life shows his strength and his power. And then we get at the verse we started with, Psalm 19, 14. And I haven't started preaching until now, and I know what time it is, but we'll get there. All right? I'm going to start preaching right now, okay? All that is the prequel. Look at this, Psalm 19, 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He begins by saying, may my words be acceptable to you. May they be a blessing, not only to you, but an encouragement to others. May my words bring grace and peace as we end every service in this building with. I want you to pay attention to James 1:19 for just a moment. My dearly loved brethren, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear. And boy, don't we want to hear. We want to know, don't we? I mean, but the second one, we don't do a good job on. It says be slow to speak. Man, we're in blast mode now, aren't we? Yeah. Something happens, man, I'm just going to blast you with all that. It says be slow to speak. He doesn't say don't speak. He just says be slow to it. Some of us are a whole lot better off if we'll just back out. Go spend a little bit of time and come back and visit. That's when I miss Charles Humpston, who was such a leader in this church. And he and Gail are in glory. And I miss him for a lot of reasons. He was a spiritual dad to me, and a spiritual leader to our church. And I could get upset about stuff. I can react pretty quick. And he's like, just give it a few days, leave it alone. And he said, in a few days, you won't be as mad about it as you are right now. You know, and that's true. We hear, and then we're quick to speak. And I go back to the verse we started with. May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, Lord. And one of the ways that our words become pleasing to him even if it's words to others, is that we're slow to speak, which then gives the progression. If you go back to James 1, it is then we're slow to anger. So we're quick to hear, man, we want to know. We're all over that. We're all over it. But we need to learn to be slow to speak. Yeah, I know you're going to come back at me with, be ready to give a defense of that. I get it. But sometimes, it doesn't say you have to do those things automatically. Sometimes, just listen, if we would all work on lessening the argument, and there are people that I love dearly, and I disagree with most of their life, but I still love them. And I want my words to be blessing and encouragement as to the Lord and who He is and the promises that He gives and He keeps. So we're slow to speak. Why my words? Why would David the psalmist write, may my words be pleasing to you? I'm glad you asked that. Matthew 15, 18 and 19, the teaching of Jesus. He says, but what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. A lot of times we talk about we need to connect our mind to our heart when we realize our heart is connected to our mouth. We'll go, well, man, we need to get the heart and the mind together. That sounds great, but Scripture says you need to get the heart and the mouth together, because what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a man. Verse 19. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, and even blasphemies. It all comes from the heart. Well, why is this such a big deal? Why is this a big deal, preacher? Why are you on it today? I'm glad you asked that. Proverbs 4, 23 and 24. Guard your heart above all else. You work on more things with your body than you do your heart. And Scripture says, all your energy, put a lot above all else, guard your heart. You got to watch what you feed your heart. For it is the source of life. Verse 24, don't let your mouth, you see the heart and the mouth are still together? Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly. Don't let your lips talk deviously. Don't let that happen. You've got to guard it. Look what Jeremiah the prophet said, and God gave to them in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? And then he answers the question next. Verse 10, I, the Lord, understand it. I examine the mind, I test the heart to give each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. The heart is deceitful. Listen, you're probably putting this together, at least I hope you are. Do you mean you can peer into my heart by what comes out of my mouth? The Word of God says you can. What's coming out of your mouth is really what's in your heart. And he says, we've got to guard it. Lord, may the words of my mouth, and then he goes on, the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Look at Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. And I want to give you a mouth-heart connection here when it comes to faith. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your, say it, church, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10. One believes with the resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the resulting in salvation. Verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, which involves your mouth and your heart, they will be saved. Do you see in those verses that a foundational belief in our heart is that God has to be raised from the dead? You know, when somebody comes to Christ, I don't make them pray. Now, you need to believe in the virgin birth, even though you do need to believe in the virgin birth. That's not a salvation necessary prayer. Even though I believe in it, I believe in the prophecy of it and the reality of it. But it says you got to believe that he's raised from the dead, which is an exercise of God's great strength and power. I mean, at the core of my heart and my faith to him, I've got to realize he raised my Savior from the grave. what I fear the most, death in the grave, he has conquered the greatest. He's not only raised Jesus from dead to life, he's raised me and you from death to life. And that's got to be a foundational belief in our hearts. And then when that is a foundational belief in my heart, then my mouth will claim him as Lord. My heart and my mouth are working together in that. So what does God look at? God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel, who picked the kings, anointed the kings, went to Jesse's house to find the next king. And so he goes there. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. Now he's finding one of Jesse's sons. He's like, this may be the guy, right? This may be the guy. Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because that's what he was going by, because I've rejected him. Man does not see what the Lord sees. For man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart of man. And we work on the outside harder than we work on the inside. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to be fit, but Paul writes you need to be more spiritually fit. That bodily exercise only benefits a little. That spiritual fitness benefits everything. And so he looks at the heart. Look at 2 Chronicles 16:9, one of my life verses. It says, for the eyes of the Lord, Yahweh, roam throughout the earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are completely his. He is looking for that loyal, loyal heart. David even continues in a great mistake of his life. It wasn't a hidden fault. It was an absolute willful act. And in his confession of that, we find it in Psalm 51:10. And look what he says. God, create a clean heart from me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You know, I could get up here, and of course all of you all love it when we preach about money, don't you? Don't you just love that? You just come to church and go, man, I can't wait till the preacher preaches about money. But let me, I can preach and preach till I'm blue in the face. But only God can take a greedy heart and make it generous. Only God can do that. God can transform your heart today. I don't want to get into the area of finance, but I'm just saying, God, this can be our prayer today. Create in me a clean heart and give me a steadfast spirit that is within me. And there he's talking about the heart. Let's go down five more verses or four more verses and look at Psalm 51:15. Now he's talking about the mouth. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Guys, listen. The Lord put it all in order. And he spoke creation into existence, and creation is speaking back about its creator all over the earth, all over it. But it wasn't made in the image of God. You and I are. And so he brought us into being. And we who are made in the image of Christ, we're meant to give back homage. We give the praise of who our Lord is. That's just what he's expecting. Whether it's in the image of God or it's not, it gives the return value of its creator. And so we say the praises of the Lord. And I want you to say the verse, and Kim, if you'll go back to Psalm 19:14. I want us to say this together. I want you to realize that he is our rock. He's our strength. It's where we run. He's our refuge and our hiding place, as it says at the end. He's my redeemer. He's my champion. He's my deliverer. And I am going to have his praise on my lips. For whatever's in my heart is going to come out our mouth. And I pray that what comes out our mouth is a blessing and an encouragement and a testimony of how strong and powerful my God is.
and how he bestows his strength upon us. And he does. Let's say it together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people. I pray in this invitation that there are moments of surrender today. I pray, Lord, that we pray the prayer of David, create in us a new heart, and then may my lips and my mouth give nothing but praise and declaration of who you are. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, Lord, be a blessing to you, to others, an encouragement of your promises given and your promises kept. I think of the hymn, Lord, just the line of the old hymn, that as I think of Calvary, the question is my master satisfied with me? Father, we want to be pleasing to you. Transform our hearts. And when you transform our hearts, you will transform our words. We say to you today that you are Lord of all, that you are the King above all kings. You are the one who was, is, and always will be. You are the first and the last. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the one who is faithful and true. You're the anointed one of God. You're Savior and Lord and Redeemer. You are Hosanna to us. You are our deliverer. And Lord, we thank you. Our hearts are yours. And from our hearts, our lips will declare you as Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place? The team's going to lead us. It's a song about the Lord's faithfulness and our testimony even about him. During this time, it's praise and worship, but it's time of decision. And you may want to come and surrender your life to Christ. You may want to come and just pray with people. I say here, the invitation is, whosoever will, for whatever reason, come. Let me just give you the country boy version of that. Y'all come, okay? You all come and ask for the Lord to transform your heart. The team's going to lead us. You respond. You come.